Well, I invite you to join me tonight in Proverbs chapter 31, and I'd like for us just to take a little bit of time tonight to really kind of scratch the surface and kind of summarize what we find in this passage. Proverbs 31, obviously, verses 10 through 31, 10 through 30, give to us a study about the excellent wife, the virtuous woman, but that is not the only individual mentioned in these verses. And so I'd like for us not necessarily to start with verse 10, but I want us to start with children and husbands and note what we're supposed to be about as we look at this passage that has family application, and then we'll kind of come back and look at the parts that are focused on the wife or the woman here. So let's go down to verse number 28 and note what it says there. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all, is the quote that is attributed to the husband there. We look at the end of this, and we kind of see the goal to which we should be moving toward. A woman who is blessed and someone who is praiseworthy, but that is also a family affair. And so as we look at this tonight, children, we need to think about our own relationship with our mothers, and every single one of us here fits into that category. Not all of us fit into the wife or mother category tonight, but all of us fit into this category of child. And the honor that's due there. And so we can think about, yes, this day of the year, but Proverbs 31 and verse 28 is something that extends the other 364 days in the year as well. Furthermore, as we're looking at this as children and as fathers, we're going to note And we're going to be prone to evaluate where our wives or mothers match up with Proverbs 31. And we're also going to note, by way of our own flesh, more likely not, because I'm going to point us there, where wives and mothers don't match up. And as we look at this, that there's in verse 28, there is this denial of, oh, no one is perfect. There's no emphasis put on where things are a problem. But as you and I look at who we are as people, we recognize we are this mixture of obedience and disobedience. So what tonight gives us an opportunity to do is to recognize the grace that we need to extend and the prayer that we need to make. We recognize that there is, in verses 10 through 30, we're not looking at the requirements to have the job, and if they had one for fathers that was this detailed and intense, we would likewise be in this category. We're looking at this as a high bar, and earlier Bob set a low bar for me. There's no low bar in Proverbs 31. But as Scripture unfolds for us, we recognize that these high bars that God sets out for us remind us of our need for Him and remind us of our need for grace and help, remind us of our need for cleansing, remind us of how we need to be praying for each other so that together we will be built up and be who God has recreated us to be in Christ. And so I hope that as children and husbands and fathers, we look at this as almost a guide for praying for the wives and mothers, daughters in our life. More comments about some of those things at the end then. Let's just go back up to the top, and I don't have this divided up into neat points and alliteration or anything. I just want to simply work through the verses and make a couple comments and cause us to think about what we read this morning. And I trust the Lord will stir us to prayer for ourselves, prayer for others, and stir us to think about the fact that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I mean, as I look at this high bar, and I expound it for all of us here tonight, I'm reminded, and I want us as a group to be reminded, that these things are possible because God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and this certainly pertains to godliness. Verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. This instantaneously raises the stakes on what we're about to read. And as I ponder that, I would like for the young men and the young women who are with us tonight just to think about what is important and what is precious. Whether you're young, you're around 20, or whether you're young and around 10, thinking about what is precious at your age is important, because what you think about is precious now is going to kind of set you on a trajectory, and God can shift those around at later points in your life, but having that thought now is wisdom, and Proverbs is certainly full of wisdom to young men in particular about the women to be looking for. Think about what's precious. If I said at the end of the service tonight, we got some extra gemstones out in the little offering plate on the literature shelf in section A, I would imagine they would be gone relatively quickly. Matt takes care of all kinds of things for me, and after the service he bolts out there and pours a few bags full of rubies and sapphires and a couple opals in there. I would assume we would pick them up. Why do I make that assumption? Because a couple weeks ago on a Thursday morning, about 6 o'clock, I took an old grill out to my tree lawn. I left at 6 o'clock. I had to go. Okay, I went running, and then I went to breakfast with one of the elders. And I came, I knew I'd be coming home at about 8 o'clock. And I was hoping it would be gone. I'd been told if I set it out there, it's probably going to be gone and you won't have to worry about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with an old dead grill. So I came home at 8, and sure enough, it was gone. Well, I went inside and said something to Chris about, hey, I set it out at 6 and it's gone by 8. And before I could even tell my great story, she said, yeah, it was gone by 6:15. 15 minutes. Now, I guess what? They want the aluminum out of it. That's what I'm told. They want the aluminum out of it. So if a grill can leave my tree lawn in 15 minutes, how more precious is a wife of excellent character? I would say pretty good. Good idea, huh? Yeah. An old rusty grill, you're going to have to yank a few things out just to make 20 bucks on, 30 bucks. I don't know how much you get for the cast iron in that. This is not just a great passage to read on Mother's Day and we all go on and do our thing. This is that to which young ladies should aspire. This is that for which young men should be looking. She is far more precious than jewels. Because we get right into what is key in that marriage relationship in verse 11 and verse 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. The heart of her husband trusts in her. As I just kind of look at those two verses, I see that the husband and the wife are on the same page. They're on the same page. Now, it looks here, as we look at the end of verse 11, that specifically this is about money. And this is where I could certainly veer off into a ditch and get myself in trouble and say all kinds of things that would be humorous and maybe helpful, probably not helpful. At the same time, you know where, as a husband and wife, there are those areas of real potential disagreement. Whether it be in finances, whether it be in child rearing, whether it be, Christy and I one time were, well, we were at Peniel for a couple's retreat, and we talked about a few various areas of conflict. Something like vacation. My wife and I have very different ideas about vacation. For me, vacation is doing nothing. For her, vacation is doing everything. That takes us two different directions, doesn't it, on vacation? So we know what we're doing, right? Everything. No, we've come to the middle. So neither of us are happy. All right? So now our vacations are we do too much and we don't do enough. Right? Now our vacations are very moderately worked out. We're on the same page. We're on the same page. And we're hoping to get closer to the same spot on the same page. All right? We trust each other. Now, here was a breakthrough in our marriage. I didn't know this was going to be so much self-confession. I just thought of this. Here my wife and I are in life. We're right here, and we want to go here. And for those of you who are listening to this on a recording, it's not going to make any sense to you, because I'm now using my hands. I'm here. My wife and I are right here. We want to go here, whether it's remodel the bathroom, whether it's pick out tile for the entryway. It could be any number of things. And here's how we get there. I think I'm going in a straight line. I'm not really going in a straight line. I'm kind of going about it this way. And my wife goes about it this way. And here's what I focus on. I focus on this. We're going different directions. What I'm not understanding is that we both really want to get here. We just have two ways of doing it. We are on the same page. We are growing to recognize we're on the same page. Husbands, wife, are you on the same page? The heart of her husband trusts in her. The inside of her husband trusts her. He trusts her so much that he feels, knows that she's going to do him good and not harm all the days of her life. And when you get to a point where husband and wife are here, and the husband wants to go here, and the wife wants to go here, as we look at the entirety of Scripture, the husband can trust his wife because she is going to defer to what he has decided with input and all that goes in there. But an excellent wife, and this is about far more than just a mother. This applies to a wife. So this is not simply child-rearing years. Before those child-rearing years, after the children have left the house, the heart of her husband trusts in her. They're on the same page. I read a couple years ago one man's evaluation of really what makes a marriage. He was seeking to, I think, biblically combat the idea of compatibility. If you think about it theologically, are sinners really compatible? Even redeemed sinners. I mean, are redeemed sinners really compatible? And I mean, you can make a case for interests and desires, but he was stating, I think, very correctly, that over time, interest and desires cannot ultimately unite us. Really, what keeps us together is biblical communication. Solving problems biblically together. And when a husband and wife can trust that each other have the same desire in mind, informed by Scripture and governed by Scripture, then you've got this sort of scenario here. The heart of her husband trusts in her because even if the decision made is different from what she wanted to do, he trusts that that's what she's going to end up doing. We move down to verses 13. I'm going to read a number of verses, 13 to 19. And we're going to skip a couple of verses and read through here. And you'll see the emphasis that comes through. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax, works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household, portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Let's go to verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. And then down to verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. If that's a little tiring just reading it, it kind of wears me out. And that's part of the reason why many of us guys went out and bought Mother's Day lunch today. We know how much work it is, right? It was easier to pull out a credit card. Now, some of us have to go back home and do the dishes, but that's another part of the story. We look at this woman and we find that she is industrious. She is an industrious keeper of home. An industrious keeper of home. Her priority is her home, but she is not tied to her home. But it is evident that the home is her first priority. If we think about the first century of Christianity that we're more familiar with in New Testament terms, and if we think about probably the 10th century or 9th century B.C., 10th century, excuse me, B.C., when Proverbs 31 was written, we recognize that their economic setting is different from ours. There, in their times, a factory was what was right there in your home and on your property. And a man may have extra land, but it was typically very close to his, and as the family they worked that. And the wife, excuse me, as you look at these types of work that she does, much of it is centered on her home. Much of it has its focus on her home. You see household mentioned a number of times. And yet you also recognize that she is in some sort of commerce or trade, which does not necessarily take her away, but it takes her, puts her in contact with those outside. And so I think we need to think about how our lives are focused with the necessary work we have to do. And so working outside the home for a wife, I don't think is unbiblical. I think there are a number of considerations that have to be thought of in that topic in and of itself. How does that wife's job outside the home, which the industriousness of this wife portrays, how does that relate to the home? Does that enhance the home? Does that enhance the relationship with the children as we look at from Proverbs 2? Where she is to be a keeper of the home and to love her husband and her children. 1 Timothy 5 talks to us about those widows who have the right to be supported by the church. And part of that is how they have taken care of their family. God has set up the family to be primary and central, not alone, but in conjunction with other possibilities. And so as we look here at Proverbs 31... there is a lot that she is busy about doing, and she is adding economically to the home, but as she is doing that, her focus remains on the home. We can look at our culture, and we can rightly recognize how a lack of focus on the home has resulted in so many societal ills. I think we also have to look within the church, and I think we have to be reminded of the necessity of mothers providing for their homes in ways that keep the focus on the home so that our mothers can be part of the spiritual education of our children. I thought this was a very good point at the father-son retreat last week. Go through the book of Proverbs and note how many times mothers are mentioned instructing their sons. And how many times the father figure in Proverbs, Solomon, we're going to assume, urges his son to listen to his mother. Solomon just doesn't tell the girls to listen to mom. He tells his sons to listen to mom as well. If mom and dad are on the same page, there's going to be that reinforcing of the spiritual lessons dad feels are important. But if there's not a focus on the home, even in providing for the home, then children lose that. And the church loses that as well. Verse 20 takes us to another aspect. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. As I thought about that, I simply thought about the fact, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give to your bosom, Jesus said. The charity that should be a part of the lives of the women of Bible Community Church. To much has been given, much shall be required. I think we can think about that, yes, certainly in terms of the grace that is given to us, but also in our material possessions. A charity, a liberality, at times we see in Scripture even a sacrificial type of liberality. Certainly it was an unusual situation when Elijah showed up to the widow. The fact of the matter is we see God supplying the needs of his people again and again and again and again throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so giving to those who have need, knowing I think wisely the true nature of those needs. And so I think that we need to be judicious in our charity. And I think that charity is best exercised with folks that we know and folks whose situations we can verify, but never using excuses to say, I just don't know where that's going to go. I'm going to refuse. No, looking out for those who have need. Particularly those of the household of faith. Down in verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. I get the sense here that this wise woman makes plans for the future that will keep her family secure. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Obviously, those aren't brand name labels. Obviously, those aren't fabrics. It's figurative language. But you get the sense that there is a steadiness, there's a security, and when problems come in the future, she's ready for those. A woman who is thinking and planning and acting on those wise plans. Move ahead down to verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Talked a little bit about this morning. Her conversations, her phone calls, her emails, her text messages are characterized by wisdom and kindness. They do something positive for other people. And the fact of the matter is, it's not simply that she refuses to talk so as not to say anything wrong, which is beneficial according to Proverbs. It's not just the absence of wrong things, but the presence of good things to say, which is going to imply that there is a knowledge of wisdom and there is a Holy Spirit wrought kindness that is there in her life. Young ladies, are you feeding your souls so that you have wisdom? In our decisions class last Sunday, we looked at those verses in a psalm, and I can't remember which psalm number it was, where David says that as he was looking at the word, it was Psalm 119. Yeah, Psalm 119. right around 99, 100, 101, that section of verses. David says that because of his knowledge of the word, he was wiser than his teachers. That is not reserved to men alone. The knowledge of the word will instruct you so that you have something good to say, something beneficial, something right, something life-giving. Young ladies, is this what you are studying about? I hope so. Is this what your communications spread abroad? I hope so. We go down to verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The right values, the right priorities. The values of the heart being cultivated with a fear of the Lord, overshadowing our culture's values on the externals. It is right for us to ponder how much time we spend focusing on beauty and charm and compare that to how much time we spend cultivating a fear of the Lord. We ponder those verses in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3, and we are reminded where the priority should be. And parents help shape that priority. And young ladies, as they move through adolescence into young adulthood, start to make those decisions for themselves. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is what we desire. This is what we need to communicate. This is what we need to help foster. Women who fear the Lord. That's what a church is meant to be, a place where that's grown, a place where that is encouraged. That takes place as we talk with each other. It takes place as we communicate with each other. It takes place as we pray for each other. Proverbs 31 would be a great prayer list for fathers to pray for their daughters. Be a great prayer guide as we think about our sisters in Christ here in the church, regardless of their stage of life. Be great for us to look at this and use this as our guide for what young men are looking for in future spouses. Nothing new to be said tonight, but a reminder, and I trust a reminder that will fall within the shadow of what we're looking at once again in 2 Peter 1, that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is possible because every believing woman here is a partaker or a sharer in the divine nature. This is not something that we need to leave from tonight and say, woe is me, I am wholly imperfect. But to leave here tonight and to thank God that this sort of scenario, this sort of description is possible because Jesus has adopted us into his family and we have the Holy Spirit. We can pray this because it's possible. So, just some thoughts. I trust we'll take them to heart and pray about them this week.